This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. From Mobile to Maybelline, from Lauderdale to Las Vegas, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. From home for home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. I am bumbling and stumbling out the gate. This is Mraz here on the D.A. show. Andrew Bogish, I will bring in just a moment, but let me just set the scene here on why you're hearing me lead the show. You heard the beginning of the show yesterday. I was not here for the beginning of the show yesterday. As baby watch continues, we thought maybe baby. No baby. I end up finishing the show out of the bullpen. We haven't had a bullpen situation on the DA show in a long time. DA has come back from Boise, Idaho. All the beers drank, all the potato vodka drank, all the food eaten, all the hands shaken, and he's got no voice. He has absolutely no voice. It did not get better. We had a nice powwow last night, and by powwow I mean group chat going, in which case DA has decided to bow out, rest the pipes this morning. Remember, he's still got Sunday morning football ahead. We got a big Thursday, Friday to set up week three of the NFL, week four college football. And frankly, I may not be here at any moment. So as long as I'm still here and able to do the show, DA needs to rest those pipes. So he is out. So that left us with a conundrum. at 9 p.m. last night. What do we do? It's got to be Mraz and Bogish. Bogish, you ready to go? Bogish at Dave Matthews' band last night. Comes off Boise, has his voice, goes and sings along to the Saints Come Marching In, basically, at Jones Beach Theater last night. So he's at Dave Matthews' band, but he's with us this morning. Me? I could have got woken up at 3 in the morning and headed to the hospital for a baby. I was not, so I am here. It is me. It is Andrew Bogish. It is the DA show. Bogish did a good enough job there setting the scene of what we're dealing with here on this Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, when the Saints Come Marching In is a bad Dave Matthews Band and a completely nonsensical Dave Matthews Band reference. But otherwise, yeah, here we are. And again, this might be the toughest I've ever been in my entire life because I lived the same Boise life basically that DA did. And I've got my voice. My ears are working perfectly fine this morning. I was up until midnight last night, 4 hours of sleep. And here we are doing a radio show. So I'm proud, knock on wood, not to jinx it, of my physical fortitude as of 6:05 Eastern on this Wednesday morning.
Well, that is good to hear. And believe me, before we get into the ins and outs of where it went wrong for DA, there will be plenty of sports today. Big Ben is a hurt peck. Roddy Jones is going to join us from the ACC Network as we go inside what is wrong with Clemson and Florida State. Charles Davis, NFL on CBS, the great Charles Davis, going to join us as we set up week 3 in the NFL as well. Plenty of, obviously, football to get into, and we will actually start with a little basketball in just a moment, but I do have to ask, Bogish, where did it go wrong for DA? Was this airplane travel? Was this just a lot of yelling and screaming? To lose your voice, where did it go wrong? And now I've come back from trips and gotten sick before, so I don't know what could have happened for DA, but you guys were on the same trajectory. Now, he was there a couple days longer, but by the time you got there, the voice was still there. Where did it go wrong?
So I was thinking about this last night, and I think this goes all the way back to a week ago because he did get there Monday night, and then Tuesday is the now infamous, right? Tuesday into Wednesday is the now infamous Sturgeon trip. So he shows up and immediately puts himself behind the eight ball because he lives, I don't know, it felt like 4 days within two because he didn't sleep and he was in car rides and going further north from Boise, Idaho into the woods, hosted a show from a beautiful log cabin and then got up and drove even more, did the fishing in the water and then like a 5 or 6 hour ride back down to Boise as I was getting there on Wednesday. I beat him. I was in the hotel asleep Wednesday night before he was back from this fishing trip. Now, he did do a good job. We discussed this, you and I, last week on the PGP. Our days had a gap in the middle of them. So Thursday and Friday, we both did go back to the hotel, nap, reset after the show, which ended at 8 a.m. local time, and then regrouped and went back out in the afternoon and did more stuff. I went on beer tours. He did guest spots on the local radio show. And then Friday night, we were out a little bit. Saturday was a super long day. And here's, I think, where the nail in the coffin came. Saturday, and we really haven't gone through all of this just yet, but we went hit a large window of no beer drinking on Saturday for a number of different reasons. Once the game started at Boise State Saturday night, the beer disappeared. By the time we got back into downtown Boise, it was, I don't know, somewhere between 11 and midnight local time. Looked around for food, couldn't find food. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? Like, I just didn't want to start drinking again at like midnight. So I went home. DA, his buddy Jonah, and the great listener Dustin that DA mentioned on Monday's show, they stayed out until, I don't know, 2:30, 3 in the morning. And then he got up at 7 something. Did Sunday morning football, came back to the hotel. We went to breakfast after that. There was a nap. Then we were back out again watching football Sunday afternoon, and then another 2:30 wake-up call Monday. So I think where this turned for DA was Saturday night into Monday morning, kind of bookending the trip with marathon sessions, and that somewhere in there is where that voice disappeared because it was starting to get shaky on Monday morning.
Oh, boy. All right, well, now you have the little behind-the-scenes answer there as we start the show. Where DA is, Bogish calls off the dogs, goes to bed. DA does not. By the way, adding up the breakfast, the Sunday morning football, and the nap, I can assure you this, DA was not on top of those 1 o'clock Eastern games on Sunday. There's no way he fitted in no chance. So the rug has been pulled off there. No chance was Niners-Eagles on his TV as he was snoozing. But all right, 855-212-4227. Pete the Body Bilotti is with us. Emmanuel Barberi is with us, who I know on Sunday was helping me out on WFAN as I did my show. Bogues, we have a separate update anchor today. Like, how is this roster put together? Are you doing the updates as well?
I believe I'm doing both things today, as far as I know. But who knows? Because I didn't know anything about other parts of this morning, and then the emails are popping in. So, Erica Herskowitz, Marco Belletti, Jacob Wilkins might show up at some point this morning. Nobody really knows.
Yeah, it feels like we're kind of running ourselves here this morning. We've patched things together. I am, as I mentioned, actually not at the studio. I am doing the show from home. And by the way, I came downstairs to what I think was a kegger between crickets because they have not shut up down here. So I don't know what's been going on. But we lead in Philadelphia. And how about basketball during football season? As training camps are set to begin, we get, I don't know if it was a Woj bomb yesterday, because I think that we were kind of waiting for this moment for training camp to start and there'd be more of an impasse between Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers, because the offseason ran long. I mean, the offseason was shorter because we're trying to get back on track, get back to a normal NBA schedule as we've taken 2 years to figure this thing out with COVID. There was no movement with Ben Simmons, and the 76ers clearly think they have a value for Ben Simmons. The rest of the NBA clearly thinks they do not. The 76ers see a couple superstars out there that may be on the move at some point, Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal, and I'm sure they'd love to include Ben Simmons in a package for that. Those guys have not been moved, and now the 76ers, who, by the way, remember, did find themselves in the Eastern Conference semifinals losing to the Hawks last year, feel like they're a team that should be at the top of the Eastern Conference with the Bucks and the Nets entering this year. But frankly, if Ben Simmons isn't going to take the floor and you're not going to get assets for Ben Simmons, can they be? This thing has now spiraled into more drama in Philadelphia. The process may be broken, and it's where we begin. It's your cold open.
You have to ask yourself, you want to be good or you want to be great? If you want to be great, you got to work on your game. So, you know, but he's getting criticized a lot, but this is warranted criticism. Like, you've been averaging 16, 18 since you've been in the league. Now it's time for you to get to that next level. Now, everyone talks about the process. The process means you have to work on your game. So, you know, for him to say, hey, I want to go somewhere else, that's all fine and dandy. But if you don't work on your game, it's going to be the same thing down the line.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Shaq on this show on September 8th. And here we go. We've gotten to the point. Training camp open. Simmons will not report. He wants to trade. It feels so George Costanza-like, Bogish. I'm not breaking up with you. You're breaking up with me. Neither side wants each other here. Big Ben. Ben Simmons can flex all he wants here and talk about how I don't want any part of you. The Sixers didn't want you here anyway. They want to trade you. That seems very clear. But the 76ers have what they feel is a valuable asset to another team in Ben Simmons. And they, let's face it, are in a situation looking around at the Milwaukee Bucks, who just won a title with a pseudo big three, depending on how you feel about Drew Holiday. They look at the Brooklyn Nets. They missed out on getting James Harden last year. Remember, the 76ers were pursuing in that. And they want a real piece to put next to Joel Embiid. And the only reason to attract that, if you're Daryl Morey, is to get Ben Simmons to trade for that. So whether that be Bradley Beal, whether that be Damian Lillard, but who's to say that the Wizards or the Blazers even want Ben Simmons in a return? Maybe they feel they can get just more value in getting more draft picks back, which I think is crucial here as well. One thing is very clear, and this postseason highlighted that again when we're passing up wide open dunks and wide open shots as Ben Simmons was. You can't build a team around Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is an excellent defender, all-NBA defender. But in a scoring league, yeah, you need defense. If you are going to trade a major asset in a Lillard or a Beal, you better be getting somebody who can score the basketball. If not, I would rather just load up on picks. So I don't know if the 76ers are going to get necessarily what they want by simply having Ben Simmons available via trade, and I think the 76ers are in this weird spot. This, to me, is not the same situation as James Harden a year ago, even if it feels like it, because it's an NBA All-Star not reporting and looking to get out, because you could build around James Harden. Now, the Nets didn't have to because they have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You could win around James Harden. Let's face it, Ben Simmons, at this point in his career, you could throw the All-Star games and the All-NBA defensive teams out there. It's not a guy you build around to have anything substantial. And if you're the Blazers with Lillard and the Wizards with Beal again, is this what I want in return? That's the main piece I want in return is Ben Simmons. I don't know about that, folks.
I don't know about it either because I don't know anything about this situation. I don't know how you value Ben Simmons. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what the right price tag to pay for him is. I don't know what the Sixers should be asking for him because he's got 4 years and $175 million left on his contract.
Brutal.
And then you couple that with all the basketball things that you just ran through, and number one being not just the inability to score, but what now seems like the mental block on scoring in big moments, refusing to shoot the ball, passing in the now infamous moment against the Hawks. I don't know what you're supposed to give up for him because I don't know that that's going to change because we've been having this conversation for how many years now. So, sure, there are absolutely intriguing parts of Ben Simmons. The defense is legit. The distribution's legit. The length, the athleticism, all of those things are real. But you can't sign up for the same problems the Sixers are having right now if you're another team. And when signing up requires giving up a really good player and or multiple first-round picks. So it certainly makes sense for the Sixers to want Lillard or want Bradley Beal. There are other trades out there that have involved the Bulls, the T-Wolves, all of these proposed deals. I can see why Philly would want them, but I don't know that any of those teams should want to give up with Philly. I mean, the Blazers in particular, you can't trade Lillard for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons can't become your new number one. Do you want to trade CJ McCollum and put Simmons next to Lillard? I think that makes a little tiny bit more sense, but I'm not trading Lillard or Beal for Simmons because Ben Simmons is not a number one guy, Sean. He's just not, and he can't be the guy you're building around. He can be a finishing piece. If he becomes your third best player on a really good team, great, but you can't make him the new face of your franchise the way he's set up as a player right now.
And look around the Eastern Conference, 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. As the NBA basically begins to gather, which is amazing because it feels like we just were doing cold opens about the Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals, and the NBA Finals. The fact that we've gotten here again, the NBA tips off in less than a month, right? Is it October 15th? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, training camp's next week.
Yeah, I think it starts October 15th. We're right here. Bogus, the Eastern Conference, we know, obviously, the Milwaukee Bucks defending NBA champions. You know the Brooklyn Nets favored to win the Eastern Conference this year. Who knows what to expect from the Atlanta Hawks? Do they take another next step here with Trae Young? They kind of came out of nowhere last year. The Miami Heat should be even better. You know, you start playing this musical chairs game around the East, and if the Philadelphia 76ers just trot out there Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris, and now they have Ben Simmons sitting there wasting away. And by the way, it's not like they were winning a title right now with Ben Simmons anyway, and they're not getting anything back for him for a while. You know, this process, the Sixers built for this moment, right? If the Sixers tanked all those years, this should be the time in 2021-2022 with Joel Embiid as an MVP candidate where the 76ers are a legitimate NBA Finals contender. I don't know how you call them that. I don't know how you look around after all those years of tanking and look at what the rest of the Eastern Conference has become if the 76ers are not going to have Ben Simmons on the floor and not going to have anything of value back for Ben Simmons at any point in the near future on the floor. Doc Rivers or no Doc Rivers, I don't know how you look at the 76er roster and think they're right there competing for a shot to get to the NBA Finals. I just don't see it.
Yeah, you should be as mad at them as you are Brad Stevens and the Celtics for not coming through on all of these picks and assets and moves. But even if Ben Simmons was happy and healthy and we were just paying no attention.
I'm not taking Brad Stevens' bait today on September 22nd. I'm not doing it.
If we were just going towards the regular season, not even talking about the Sixers because there was nothing to talk about because everything was fine and dandy, I still think that they'd be further down that Eastern Conference list because we've seen them in action now. And yeah, they're just not. And now, I'm obviously, Embiid is an absolute stud. I like Tobias Harris as a player, but even with Ben Simmons being Ben Simmons on the floor, plus happy Ben Simmons, you'd have to hold them back because they seem to be just not good enough for that very top echelon of the league. I mean, it's again, we're nitpicking at that point, but still, like, you know, they're. They should be better. They should have been better. They should have gone farther than they have the last couple of years. And that's clearly not going to change anytime soon because they got this huge thing sitting on their head right now.
At Mraz, CBS, M-R-A-Z-C-B-S, at Andrew Bogish. That is exactly where you can interact with the show throughout the day. It's not a Target demo Summer Friday. It's a Fall Wednesday. Things are bananas here on the DA Show. Absolutely bananas. So interact with the show there, 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. If you're looking for the Permission Granted podcast, which usually is posted by now, there is a reason it is not out. DA had no voice yesterday. He left the show. I came back on the show. We made an executive call that obviously this week would make sense that Bogish and DA do a very deep dive. All the behind-the-scenes stuff that Bogish kind of tipped you off to, we didn't know about DA take a little nap early during that 1 o'clock window on Sunday. We're hoping to get all of that. We obviously are not going to tape that today, so we will have to make a call on the Permission Granted podcast tomorrow. So if you're freaking out about it, we know it's not there. So we know it's not there, and we are trying to work through this thing. We kind of feel like the San Francisco 49ers felt last year. We're coming off a Super Bowl. Suddenly you look around, everybody's banged up. Dave Matthews Band here, babies hanging out of bodies here, DA with no voice here. A lot happening. Absolutely a lot happening. And Pete Bellotti and Andrew Kaplan are our rocks here. They are here and ready to go. All right, when we come back, your best audio day. By the way, Cap tells us October 19th, the NBA season begins. So I was 4 days off.
Close
Good
enough.
Job, Shawnee. Close enough, baby. Close enough. I'm on top of it. Fire. Fire. By the way, football season in New York continues like this. I'm ready for the hockey on TNT. Run another commercial. Let's go. All right, when we come back, the best audio of the day. You fans are going to want to hear this, John Sterling. John Sterling, as the season winds down here for the New York Yankees, is now throwing to post-game interviews that nobody can hear, and he has no idea that the audience isn't listening. Soundcheck next on the DA Show.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. We'll start off with Ron Rivera. You know, this NFL taunting rule that we thought maybe in the preseason was just a crackdown, now you're seeing more and more flags pulled. Fans can't take it anymore. John Mara, Giants owner, got crushed for supporting the rule in the offseason. And now Ron Rivera, coach of the Washington football team, is stepping up saying why he's in favor of it.
The idea behind the taunting rule is to prevent the bigger things. Okay, we've had this example when one guy taunts a guy and then the guy comes back for a little payback, and next thing you know, you got a big fight on your hands. You got guys coming from left field hitting each other, you know, and that's really what you're really, to me, I think the referees are really looking for. They're just trying to get it quieted down.
All right, I get it. There are a lot of problems where taunting happens, then there's a big scuffle. Well, let's stop pretending like we've had a bunch of malice on the palaces on the NFL field because a guy stood over somebody thumping his chest. The 15-yard flags completely slow down the game. I've noticed through 2 weeks the refs feel like they are inserting themselves way too much into these games and not letting the players play. Football is an emotional sport. It's an emotional sport. You make a big play, you basically dump all over, whatever. Like, you're going to stand over, you're going to do what you're going to do, you're going to flex, you're going to get in somebody's face. Just let them be emotional, let them be emotional. Not everything needs to be a 15-yarder, folks.
Ron Rivera is not wrong in what we're trying to avoid here. I think the problem is that everybody has seen through two weekends is that they're calling this penalty too quickly, that the flag is coming out too soon, where, I we're not on the field, I guess, so we got to step back a little bit. But, I mean, the stuff, I think there were 11 flags through two weekends of games, and there have been montages of the flags or individual videos of each one of them, and I none of them looked like penalties to me. None of them made me think, oh, like that was going to get nasty in a second. Again, the only kind of saving grace here, Sean, is that they're going to throw this flag early and often this season, and then it's slowly going to fade away and go back to like a normal per weekend average, and then we never talk about it again because they feel like they figured it out, or like they just feel like they did enough to say, we tried to emphasize this, and then we move on. But it's just, it's not in a good spot right now. There's no way that even through two full batches of weekends of games, that we've had the need for 11 penalties for this. There's not that many rogue, trash-talking, bad-mouthing, tough guys in the NFL that this amount of flags has to come out when we had, I think, 11 all of last season, and we have 11 through 2 weekends so far. There's no way the problem was that bad.
I agree. Now, the problem is a lot of times you see this happen in the preseason and it fades away early in the regular season.
Right.
And that's what I don't like. I don't like that we've seen it through 2 weeks. But keep an eye on it. You have a head coach advocating for it. Last time I saw a head coach advocate for somebody looking into rules, it was Mike Schilt looking into sticky substances in baseball. And next thing you knew, all season was derailed after that. All right. Sterling Shepard on the Zach Gelb show because Matt Rhule was unavailable. Bogues, it's a bad job on me. This should be you taking as you read this. Did it sound better?
It's okay because
I wrote this for your voice to make you laugh, and I just spoiled it.
And I was not prepared to read it, maybe because you went through it so quickly. But yeah, the joke is it's Sterling Shepard. It's not Matt Rhule because I guess this Tuesday Matt Rhule wasn't available to hang out with his good buddy Zach Gelb. But I do think Temple, did they win a football game this weekend? You'd feel like that would be a good time to have Matt Rhule on. But anyway, this is Sterling Shepard, he of the Giants, on that sideline screaming from Kenny Golladay last week in Washington.
No, I mean, it's like a family, man. And as you know, with every family, there's going to be some times where you get heated and going to be some heated moments. But you move on from them. You talk about them. You discuss them whenever you calm down and you move on. So that's what we've done as a team and as a unit.
Now, a lot of people thought Kenny was demanding for the ball more. He said that wasn't the case. Do you know what the frustration actually was then?
No, I have no idea.
All right, now we discussed this yesterday, Sean, on the part of the show that you were not here for. And I said, I mean, it was kind of funny that Kenny Golladay went on and off. I wasn't yelling at the quarterback. I was yelling at my OC. So now that I wasn't yelling or it wasn't a big deal, just let me tell you the exact person I was yelling at. And I basically said, and you know, you as the host of Gee Whiz, the Giants number 17 podcast.
Thank you.
Good for Kenny Golladay. Like, we all should be yelling at Jason Garrett. So let it keep happening until something changes with this offense.
And there's two things, as you know, me from my Giants expertise, I can tell you. People, when this came out, if you're not a Giants fan, those follow the Giants, well, what does it matter? You were yelling at somebody. What does it matter if you're not yelling at the quarterback, yelling at the offensive coordinator? Well, that's important for two reasons. Number one, Kenny Golladay dropped a lot of passes on Thursday night. And Daniel Jones was the best player on the football field. You could make the case the best player on the football field between either team, despite Washington winning, was Daniel Jones the other night. That was not the night to yell at Daniel Jones. So he was getting crushed, Kenny Golladay was, if he was yelling at him. Yelling at Jason Garrett should always be warranted. The man sucks as an offensive coordinator. Where the Giants found themselves in a sticky situation is, number one, people need to stop freaking out at sideline outbursts. There was the Lions D-back coach yelling at Jeff Okuda, and people went crazy about it. And then, you know, people miss where they're actually hugging it out. Tom Brady screams at everybody on the sideline. He gets a pass because he's Tom Brady. Where the Giants find themselves in a tricky position is they have a general manager that has preached culture, 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 and couldn't wait after signing him to trade Odell Beckham Jr. for a lot of what you just saw Kenny Golladay doing. So if you're going to trade Odell Beckham Jr. for that, and talk about how culture needs to be improved, two games into paying Kenny Golladay a lot of money, he's doing that, it just makes the Giants look like a hypocritical mess. So that would be the only point there. But, hey, if you're yelling at Jason Garrett, by all means. I hope Kenny Golladay is here long after Jason Garrett is.
God, you're so right. We need to move on. Until there's an actual, like, fist fight between teammates or player versus coach, we have to stop thinking that these things are big deals. I even saw a clip from the weekend where Byron Leftwich, I guess, was calling in a play and Brady's looking at his wristband thing and he doesn't like it. He just turns this on and he yells no. And I was like, look what he's doing. This is he's in the moment. He knows what in front of him. He knows what the defense is doing. He knows what his offense is doing well, and he wanted to call a different play. We have to stop thinking that these guys are enemies. They're in the middle of a huge battle. They're allowed to be angry. They're allowed to be yelled. It's like the taunting call. We need to adjust where the line is here. The line needs to be further down the field. A lot of this is allowed. It does not mean teams are falling apart.
Right.
We need to stop freaking out every single game where it happens.
I'll give you a good real-life example of this, Bogus, real quickly. Let's say you're in the car in traffic with your significant other. Maybe your mother. Mm-hmm. Pick whoever it is. They're riding shotgun or they're in the back seat. they don't like the way you're driving. Hey, you're going too fast. Hey, the stop and go is crazy. You know, we've all been there, right? Somebody always has to nitpick the driving. Maybe you get into a little argument. Hey, I'm the driver. You want to drive? You could, you know, something like that. You get into a little, you know the scenario I'm painting. We've all been there, especially if you live somewhere where there's traffic. You get nasty. Does that mean your marriage is falling apart? Does that mean your relationship with your mother? Does that mean you were really ticked off that you were getting called out in the moment? It's no different these guys are. This is their livelihood. The overreactions need to stop. Now, speaking of maybe your grandparent being in the back seat. The Yankees, who now I guess want to win again. They're fighting, they're clawing. I've had it with this baseball. I tell you, I'm a baseball fan. I've never rooted harder for a baseball season to end than this one. The Yankees, who I think are going nowhere even if they make the playoffs, their post-game show is going nowhere as well. So Monday night, the game ends, and we've played a lot of John Sterling and Susan Wolman clips. Susan Wolman, for those who don't live in the area, she goes down to the field, and she interviews a star of the game when the Yankees win. You know, grab whatever player had a big hit, we're going to interview. This has gone on for well over a decade that John and Susan have been together. It usually runs seamless. So I'm just setting
up. And she leaves while the game is going on still, which is why you never hear her voice in like a game-ending highlight. She's not in the booth anymore in the ninth inning, the tenth inning. She's downstairs waiting for the game to end.
Waiting. So this is a big deal. It's sponsored. It's the star of the game. It's a big deal. John Sterling tosses to this moment. You know what? We're going to play it, and then I'm going to tell you why this is even funnier than it looks. Here's what happens Monday night.
Susan's star of the game. Sponsored by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all.
I presume it's on the air. I can't hear it, right? Doesn't matter. I didn't hear it. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're wasting your...
Oh, my goodness. Now, in case you can hear with the jumps, that went longer than it played on the air. That we just played on the air. That was basically 2 minutes of you hearing Sinatra's New York, New York in the background play at Yankee Stadium. And what you could hear that I amplified was John Sterling say, I presume this is on the air. Ah, whatever. It doesn't matter. And then continues to let it go on, goes back to the double well of, ah, who cares? I mean, John, this is your colleagues. Your colleagues' big thing is the star of the game. And you're basically saying, who cares? Now, to defend him, maybe he was saying it doesn't matter that he can't hear it. But how does nobody, there's no producer, there's nobody telling him, John, we don't hear it either.
I presume it was on the air. I didn't hear it.
It
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're wasting your time.
You're wasting your time figuring out. I mean, that's a hot mic for John. You have to think that's a hot mic. You can't be saying it doesn't matter. You're wasting your time. That's your colleague's big thing. He's the star of the game. It's not going out over the air. This, I mean, you want to talk about the Yankees losing to Cleveland, losing to Baltimore. This is the pinnacle of the Yankee season. John Sterling saying it doesn't matter. We're wasting our time. That Susan Wolman's down there trying to interview whoever, Gary Sanchez, whoever. Bogus, what a rough look.
And if you go all the way back to the beginning, he, in, you know, true John Sterling fashion, the big regal introduction, Susan, star of the game, is sponsored by Fox. Like, it could not sound more important, more prominent. And then there's just crickets. And then there's just nothing. So it's funny 3 seconds in the clip. And I almost wish that you left it in its truest form so we could feel the frustration and the awkwardness of the random silence. And you're right, like, from a technical standpoint, who the heck isn't, where's Peter Schwartz? Why isn't Schwartz on this post-game show to have some semblance of professionalism? Because they're just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, cursing under their breath, assuming everyone can hear this interview, and no one's hearing it, and no one's saying from our studios in New York, guys, we can't hear this, what's going on?
It's uncomfortable, it's brutal, and that's just sound check. That is as bad as it gets. So as far as Schwartz goes, I'm assuming he was very exhausted from watching his kid umpire and creepily taking pictures of other kids at the plate because his kid's umpiring. That would be my only assumption.
Ugh. I feel like I got something snarky to say, but I feel like it might be too snarky. I don't want to get in trouble.
Say well, it. Now you have to say it. You can't say
I mean,
say
there's something
that.
I know. Like something along the lines of whoever was in the studio not telling them that there was basically silence on the air is probably hosting a show tomorrow night on WFAN at this point, the way things are going. Like, the reward is the 2 to 6 a.m. slots on some upcoming Saturday morning.
It's funny you say that, because the guy helping Pete is next up on that, Emmanuel Barberi, and he was
probably I know Emmanuel went to Fordham. He knows what he's doing. He would not have allowed that to go on that long.
Pete, is Emmanuel by a microphone? We have to ask him. Was it him? We need to know.
Hang on 1 second.
Oh, jeez. Because that's something. If he's getting rewarded with shows, and he's not letting John and them know that we can't hear it on the air.
If I blew up Emmanuel's spot here by accident, I apologize, but I would be shocked if Emmanuel was in charge of that bumbling.
Well, he's going to say no, even though we could definitely check the staff schedule. He's going to say no, but...
I was not on that shift.
Okay.
Of course you weren't.
All right, of course you weren't. Now, Emmanuel, if you were, you've run the board for the Yankee games, right, on WFAN?
That's one of the shifts I have not trained on, so
okay.
I'm not a Yankees trained producer.
All right, I was going to say, would it be easy to get down the line and tell them we don't hear anything, or is that impossible? But if you don't have the answer for that, that's fine. Just make sure Pete doesn't scream at you over the next 4 hours. And then
right,
be
exactly.
Doing the job
I think
fine.
You'd try talking down to them. It might fall on deaf ears, but you'd try at least.
Okay, all right. That's E-Man. E-Man is a He-Man. It's John Sterling.
Oh, boy.
All right, Bogish, on that bad crack, why don't you take it away with an update?
We began the show with basketball in Philadelphia. Now we do some football in Pittsburgh. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin revealing yesterday Ben Roethlisberger dealing with a left pec injury.
That could affect him from a preparation standpoint. Don't have an idea how much as I sit here right now, but we better be ready to be adjustable and deal with that.
We'll talk more about this next hour. Big Ben, though, not sure when he got hurt, but he was sacked twice, hit 10 times by the Raiders Sunday. His team also dealing with groin injuries for defenders T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Joe Hayden, and Devin Bush. Tomlin would not give an update on any of them yesterday. Colts QB Carson Wentz expected to test his sprained ankles in practice today. Browns receiver Jarvis Landry on IR with a sprained left MCL, so he'll miss at least 3 weeks. And Broncos defensive end Bradley Chubb is having a bone spur removed from his left ankle today. He could miss up to 2 months. College football playoff expansion in some real trouble, apparently. The CFP Board of Managers was supposed to meet next week to rubber stamp the plan moving to maybe 12 teams, but there is now so much disagreement between them, they might not even meet at all, according to CBSSports.com. The St. Louis Cardinals, a 2-1 win in Milwaukee last night, so Mike Schilt's team has won 10 in a row.
Really, it's just about a group of players that believe and have believed in themselves and believe in each other, believe in the process, believe in the competition, the preparation, and believe in each other.
His Cards now lead the Reds by 4 games for the second NL wild card, because since he took a 6-2 home loss from the Pirates, the Phillies stay 4.5 back with a 3-2 win in 10 over the O's.
It's amazing with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's every year.
Well, it's not amazing if they're leaving you in their dust right now. If you're the Reds or the Phillies or the Mets, it sucks, to be honest.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, as an organization, they just sit there all year and they tread water enough, and then they do this every year. They find a way into the postseason.
They were, I think it was 8.5 games out of a playoff spot, like on August 18th, and now they have a 4-game cushion for the second wild card spot.
Amazing.
It's 12-game improvement in basically a month.
Crazy. Absolutely.
But they're super annoying, so who cares? The Cardinal way is the worst thing ever. The Phillies, by the way, a 3-2 win in 10 over the O's. JT Realmuto, a game-ending 2-run triple. The Giants topped the Padres 6-5. The Dodgers got by the Rockies 5-4 and 10. So San Francisco keeps its 1-game lead atop the NL West. The Astros' magic number in the AL West is down to 4 with a 10-5 victory in Anaheim, plus Oakland's 5-2 home loss to the Mariners. The Red Sox took care of the Mets 6-3. The Jays, a 4-2 win in Tampa, and the Yankees handled the Rangers 7-1. So Boston still leads Toronto by a game and a half atop the wild card standings, and the Bombers still a half game behind those Jays. And from the NHL, the Wild re-signing restricted free agent winger Kirill Kaprizov, 5 years, $45 million for last season's Rookie of the Year. There were some rumors that Kaprizov would threaten to play in his native Russia without getting this big deal. Sean, back to you.
Sean, back to you. Andrew, back to you. When we come back, that Manning cast on Monday night, I sunk my teeth in again. And the Gronk stuff, I just don't get the love for Gronk. We talk about that. Plus, did Conor McGregor throw a terrible first pitch at a baseball game on purpose? Because I really am questioning how this is even possible from an athletic standpoint. The DA Show with Bogus and me, Mraz, continues on next. Want to do is have anything to do with sex leaving Cheesecake Factory.
Interesting take.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Play that drop. I think I just got a good dinner idea. When we had Taylor, the night before we had Taylor, me and Danielle went out to Cheesecake Factory, Christmas shopping in the mall. We had Cheesecake Factory, and it was like 6 hours later. Hey, we were in labor, so maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the key to finally have this thing happening, a little Cheesecake Factory tonight, just what the doctor ordered. Either that or I just want to be a fat pig, and I want to enjoy a menu that's as big as a novel. And but you know what? The more I think about DA, always question. Yeah, I was going to say, the more I question, or I think about DA questioning how much I read, hey, that Cheesecake Factory menu counts as a book. It absolutely
it
does. Yes, it does. It's just like reading Harry Potter.
It's not. I know it's big. It's bigger than it should be. It's bigger for the biggest menu I've ever seen. It's heavy. I get it. But reading like chicken parmesan descriptions or like bang bang chicken breakdowns is not like reading any book really, Sean, which I think proves again that you don't read books because you don't know what they're like and you think they're like menu at that restaurant.
So it needs to be a novel to be a book?
No, it just needs like stories and full sentences and
the story of the start of Cheesecake
Factory
in the back.
How long is that net novel?
That's at least a full page. And by the way, characters is the jambalaya not a character?
No, it's a food.
Pete, do you think the Cheesecake Factory menu counts as a book?
It should. It's too long.
Thank you. Bogus is outnumbered here. And I know Kaplan agrees with me. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to vote 3 votes yes, 1 vote no.
I'm surprised it's still allowed to be that long.
Why? What do you mean it's still allowed to be that long?
I think it's a turnoff sometimes.
A turnoff? The place just shirt. You could go to a Cheesecake Factory anywhere in this country on a Tuesday and it's a 45-minute wait. I don't think it's a turnoff if
that's
the place
gets fine, but
it survives the chain.
That menu that probably aren't consumed.
But the thing is, you have the big glass windows there
not
where you're
talking
watching people
about
cook.
That.
All right, well, I'm just saying. Obviously, the food continues to be fresh. They know they have a good system there.
That's
this
fine.
Is a country where you see chain restaurants close left and right. Cheesecake Factory survives it all, baby. So you could have weddings at Cheesecake Factory. That's how fancy.
Not saying it will never survive. I'm saying that the menu is too long.
All right, but again, can it be too long if Cheesecake Factory continues to be that busy? And that's my point. It's not a turnoff, clearly.
Okay.
It sounds like Pete feels bad.
Drop your next one-liner. Let's go. Next segment.
Yeah, he feels bad for the food that doesn't get eaten because it doesn't ever get seen on this long menu. Like, there are just lonely foods at the bottom of page 17 that no one ever sees.
I'll give you an example. The Monte Cristo sandwich, right? They had that, right? And now it's gone because it's just in a menu with 500 other things. So now I can't get my sandwich from that place. Because there's 17 pages of things to order. You don't need that many pages.
So you think that the other stuff that people are clearly ordering should be taken off so you, the only one who wanted the Monte Cristo, can still get that?
I'm not saying it's clearly ordered. I'm saying the stuff that, you cycle it. Put some stuff on a menu seasonally. Like mix it up a little bit.
All right. I'll tell you one thing that I'll never get there.
Not
factory meatloaf. I can't go to Cheesecake Factory and get meatloaf.
I agree.
That I don't understand. But there you go. There you have it. You knew Pete would have some kind of take, and he got burned by the Monte Cristo he used to like there. And now he's awful. Kaplan has chimed in. It's the best free bread. See, I still go Outback. The problem with Outback is not consistent enough. It's a streaky hitter. It's a Brett Gardner. Sometimes it's warm and fluffy. Sometimes it's hard. That pumpernickel, though, can be to die for when it's done right. Also, Texas Roadhouse with that cinnamon butter. Great bread. Great bread.
Again. Because these places are giving you a book at your table. These are the books you read. The cinnamon butter for the bread of Texas Roadhouse. That is your Harry Potter. You're
How about
right.
the nutrition
I, you know,
facts?
I'm just going to sit down.
All right. Well, now let's get to Gronk. Pete, by the way, great take. I love that take. Let's get to Gronk for a second. This Manning cast, I think, got better in week two. I thought Brett Favre being on with the two Mannings, despite his internet being in and out and being crap, was very informative. They let the game breathe a little more. It was less Peyton Manning throwing on a helmet and acting like a clown and more them just sitting there digesting the game. I think this is trending in the right direction. People going goo-goo gaga, though, for Rob Gronkowski, who, by the way, openly admitted to not paying attention to the game during it. Can we stop giving Gronk attention? Stop giving him attention. I can't take it anymore. Oh, guy wouldn't know TJ Hockenson if he fell on him. All right. That was a heck of a Gronk take I gave you there, but we have more Cheesecake Factory mixed in. All right, we come back. Big Ben's hurt, and did Conor McGregor screw up a first pitch on purpose? The DA Show continues next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.